Turn with me, please, to the book of Revelation and chapter 1. Now, there's no sense in me saying when I'm going to quit, but I want to be as short as I can, as brief. So I will try to leave room by the help of the Spirit of God. Just a few thoughts. Revelation chapter 1 and verse number 20, the mystery of the seven stars which thou sawest in my right hand, and the seven golden candlesticks. The seven stars are the seven are the angels of the seven churches, and the seven candlesticks which thou sawest are the seven churches. Unto the angel of the church of Ephesus write, these things saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden lampstands. Turn back to the book of Acts, please, on chapter 20. Acts chapter 20 and verse number 26. Wherefore I take you record this day that I am pure from the blood of all men. For I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock, over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. For I know that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things, to draw away disciples after them. Therefore watch and remember that by the space of 3 years I cease not to warn every one night and day with tears. Now, final reference in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, please. First Corinthians and chapter 3, verse number 6, I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one. And every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building. Maybe a final reference in the chapter, please, to look down to verse 16. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy. For the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are. It has been a consideration recently, and I'm just passing on the few meditations of my own heart, that there is a sense in which sometimes we forget the value of a local testimony. It is wonderful to get words of encouragement in our lives of testimony individually, and see from men of the old economy and also of the new, in the New Testament, examples for to follow in the path of faith. But I think it's very wise for us to sometimes gather our thoughts around the precious unfoldings of a local testimony. Now, there are many metaphors that are used. I want to take up very simply, I'll probably only touch three, I've read about four at least. There are others. But the ones that I want to touch, I want to bring out a salient point in each one of them. You see, I know I've said it, you have said it. Are you coming to visit my assembly? And I've done that, and I'm not going to find fault with that. Because often when you say that, don't misjudge the person. They really are trying to put a value upon the company that they belong to, and they would like to see you there. So they use the word my assembly or our assembly. Now, I want you to look, please, carefully, simply, basically, at what the Bible teaches. I want to look at a lampstand. I want to look at a flock. I want to look at a husbandry. And I want to look at a temple. There's the one called a building. I'm missing that one out just now. Chaste virgin is another. And you could go on, and there's a number of other metaphors. They will suffice to try to engage our minds with this important factor. When we're thinking of a lampstand, the seven golden lampstands, basically we're thinking predominantly of the Godward side of the assembly. It is a pure golden lampstand. That's what God calls it. We might say, would you mind visiting us? We are a very weak little band. We've only 9 or 10 in fellowship. And we're just the kind of weak, and you kind of always are chiding yourself. Well, maybe it's right to do that at times and wonder why we are so small. But that's not what's on my mind. In God's reckoning, every local testimony is looked upon in the absolute beauty of a lampstand. A golden lampstand. Indicative that it's divinely constructed, divinely connected, divinely supplied, and divinely inspected. Those are the features of a golden lampstand. Whether it's Victoria Drive or Woodland Drive or any of these other places, Fairview, and the number, I couldn't mention them all, it's in the back of the little brochure, but nonetheless, all those assemblies are looked upon. And brethren, catch this. We may be weak, and we ought to be on our knees for our weakness, but capture, please. In God's estimation, it's a golden lampstand. I come out to this country 1968. Now, I know what age I am. I come out in 1968, and as I come over in that plane, it was a beautiful night, clear as crystal, and it was a smooth ride. I sat at the inside, I always liked the window. And I sat in there, and as we moved from place to place, the co-pilot often come over the paging across, I'm not getting the word right, he come over the air anyway. And he said, this is the city to my right. And of course he would veer over, I didn't like that. And he would veer over to take a look, and then he would go over this way to let the other see. He was giving us a little joyride. And then finally, he came over Calgary. Now, this is no reflection in Vancouver. We hadn't touched down in Vancouver yet. But he came over Calgary in that glistening night of stars and the moon out. And he says, I want you to show you the brightest lit city in the West. And he hovered over that, and I remember looking out, and I looked down, and what I saw was almost like a golden ball. Way in the distance, just like. And I immediately said to myself, isn't it wonderful? What a picture that in God's reckoning dotted throughout our world, from China and Russia and all the different countries of our world, there are little golden lampstands that illuminate in the darkness the beauty of it, the wonder of it. Would that we could catch a little more in our souls and spirit of that beauty of a golden lampstand. Mr. Ramsey, of whom we have tremendous respect, I preached with him the last 2 nights that he lived, the 2 Sunday nights, and I remember him telling me away back, he said, Albert, have you ever seen that little assembly formed in Hubbard's Point? He says, and don't be too long in getting it going, for he said, if you wait too long, it'll die out before you even get it started. He said, you better get them together. Something about that.
And he says, let me know. I don't care where I'll be. I'll come and visit the first remembrance meeting. Never forget it. I tell you, we arrived there. Mr. Walmsley was there likewise that day. And there's quite a number come down for the opening of the little assembly in Hubbard's Point. Still small. Around 14 in the fellowship. 5 or 6 brethren and sisters. And I remember when he come down, you know, he just burst into the little place and he brought a bit of what I call enthusiasm. A little warmth. And as he went up there, he started to speak. He said, you know, I was coming from PEI. He said, I'm so happy to be here. Great, he said. Wonderful. And a big meaty hand, you know the big hand he had. And he said, you know, I picked up a newspaper in the way and I was reading it. And he said, the headlines were K.C. Irvin, multi-billionaire. Is investing something like $300 million in a new project in New Brunswick. Going to employ so many people. And I took the whole paper to tell it. And he said, I looked at it, he says, I threw the old paper down. He said, God's not interested in K.C. Irvin and $300 million in supplying people with jobs. You know what he's interested in? This little golden lampstand here. And you know, there's only about 10 in fellowship then. You'd almost thought we'd have been a 200 in fellowship before he was finished. You know what he did? He infused into us the value of a golden lampstand. Now, all I want to say in that very quickly, and I want to try to get down in 10 minutes. What I want to say about that is this. When I think of a golden lampstand, Godward, I want to think of the other sense in which, always with a golden lampstand, you're thinking of the autonomy of a local assembly. I want you to get that. You're thinking of the autonomy of the local assembly. That is that each lampstand stands on its own base, responsible to the one who walks in the midst of the 7 golden lampstands. That each assembly stands in its own without outside interference. Now I'm using my words carefully. We sometimes need advice, and maybe you do, I don't know. I'm a stranger here. Though I'm not, but I feel that, you know, coming from the East, I feel at home with you. But remember, each assembly stands on its own base. Brethren, if we lose it, we will fall into pitfalls and snares until we will have what you call a selection. And possibly go to the place of exclusivism. We need to keep in mind that this assembly, though there's fellowship with assemblies, we recognize that. That's not what's on my mind, that'll be another time. But now what's on my mind is this, to keep in mind the beauty of a golden lampstand, Godward. God has put his stamp upon it, whether it be 9 people or 100 people or 200. Wonderful in God's reckoning, a golden lampstand. But the teaching of the 7 golden lampstands, each one responsible to the one in the midst. The autonomy. I'm saying something here. We should never arrive at the place where, if you don't do that in the assembly, we will not come. Brethren, we should never be reduced to threats. We should never compromise. We should always maintain that local assembly in total responsibility to the Lord. Now, that's all I'm going to say. I just want to quickly pass on. Now, there's another picture. We're leaving the metal, the golden lampstand, and we're coming to a flock. You know, I just want to bring out one principle. It's a little flat. We know that the whole aggregate of saints from Pentecost to the rapture is looked upon as a flock. That's John 10. Other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and there shall be one shepherd and one flock. But we're thinking of Paul's word as he gathers the elders or the shepherds or the leaders to gather at Ephesus. And he's going to teach them something. He's going to move on. And this mighty man of God, this mighty evangelist, this mighty teacher, he touched them, no doubt, with his own emotions. He felt what he was speaking. He felt it. They saw tears in the man's face. They knew that the man that was speaking to them had a heart of a father. And what he's saying now to them, look, he says, I want to tell you, I can see in the distance the dark clouds gather, and I can see that the little flock will be under attack. And I want to just give you a little advice. Take heed, therefore, unto yourselves. Now, stop a moment. I learned one principle before we ever act toward others. First of all, deal with yourself. That is always a proper attitude. And then he says, take heed to yourself and to all a little flock. It's the word for little flock. That little assembly, now from a lampstand, golden, now to a little flock. He says, take heed to yourselves and to the little flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers. Not man-made. Not voted in. Not brought in because of relationships, but the Holy Ghost raising up. Now he said, take heed yourselves unto the little flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers. Now what I just want to leave with you very briefly without detail is this. When I think of the little flock, I'm not now thinking of the autonomy of the assembly being my salient point. I'm thinking of the responsibility of shepherds to the assembly. What is it? Feed the flock of God. Now listen, I just want to say very quickly, you know, sometimes we hear, I don't know about here, I haven't heard anyone say a thing, but sometimes people drift away from the assembly. We lose them. There can be two dangers. There can be the danger that they never understood the beauty of an assembly and its value. Or it could be the pasture is very sparse and the food is very scarce. Now I'm not a shepherd in the sense of understanding sheep, so I better not go out on a limb and say the wrong thing about them. I heard of a preacher doing that, and there's a shepherd present, and the man was wrong in his definition, so I'm not going to jump that way. But I will say this. I don't like the word silly sheep either, by the way. Sheep are not as silly as you think. People out there, they're not really silly. So don't use that word about them. That's because we think they're silly. But I'll tell you something. If there's good pasture, the sheep will be content. The great responsibility of shepherds in every assembly, be it large or small, is to know the value of proper food for all. And brethren, what keeps young people and older people and all ages, whether parents who are young or whether they be the aged or whether they be the young babe in Christ, no matter what spectrum we look at, listen, if there's food from the shepherds, there'll be contentment in the sheep. Now I'm just saying, how are we feeding them? How are we feeding them? I hope we know what it is, and I haven't time. The beauty of it would take me too long to know how to feed. David fed skillfully, we know that, in the integrity of his heart. You know how he did that. The picture of God in Isaiah 40 is just beautiful, how he handled them. Now, you know, when you're handling sheep, you're not handling goats. You're handling sheep. They're tender. They're innocent. They need guarded, they need kept, they need fed. Would you feed the sheep well? I'm just leaving that with you. I want to keep my word, responsibility. You don't ever hear the cry, there's not enough in the assembly. And there's nothing to keep the young people. And we need this, and we need that, and we need the other thing, and we're going to hold them. You feed them the word of God and get it well embedded into their soul. I give them an appetite for it, and I'll tell you something. They'll come back for more. We don't need to cater to the whims and fancies and ideas of a Christendom out there. There's enough in this book that will feed God's people now and throughout eternity. What we need is men to rise. Men of the book that will feed. You know something about feeding? Just to say this. It's not all the same food. Now, I'm well fed out here. Too well fed. I'm feeling it. Listen. If you set me down to a table and all you had on the table was apple pie and cream, morning, noon and night, what way do you think? Come on. You give me something in the morning, a little cereal or whatever, a toast, and then something else. There's a kind of a variety. You can't live in buns, you know. You've got to have a wholesome food. You've got to get something stabilizing and strengthening. So the feeding is very important, responsibility to the feeding. Let me say very quickly, when it comes to the third metaphor that I just want to touch, husbandry. We're touching that in Genesis chapter 2, the garden type of thing, the husbandry. That's plants that are growing. Paul says that I have planted and Apollos watered and God gives the increase. And that little assembly at Corinth was looked upon as God's husbandry. The lampstand is indicative. It's God's. It's pure gold. It's divine. The flock reminds us that there is a chief shepherd. And these are under shepherds that are feeding them. And when it comes to the little husbandry, we have the thought of a plants that will develop and grow. And the protection and preservation and cultivation and guarding. I haven't time to develop that. I want to keep to my word. I haven't touched the other one. I'm just leaving it where it is now. The assembly is precious. It's golden. Value it. The assembly is a little flock. Care for it. Feed it. The assembly is a husbandry. It needs care and attention in growth. Now I just want to sit down with this. If we all value an assembly here in Victoria Drive tonight, listen, if we all value this assembly who belong to it, and all value at Fairview, and all value, I'll tell you something. You know what you would have if we get the right perspective? Tell you what you'll have. 100% committed Christians to that little company. So someone, that's a difficult one. I don't want to commit. Listen, if you want to enjoy and want to develop and want to grow and want to enjoy the things of God that are spiritual, you know what we're looking for today in year 2001 amidst a dangerous world? We're wanting light in a dark world in the lampstand. We're wanting a flock fed with the finest of the wheat, the food of the word of God, and we're wanting the plants to grow and develop and be guarded and watered. And if we get that, you know what we'll find? Christians will love to be here. Not out of duty, but out of devotion to the one to whom they're gathered.